Good afternoon. How are we doing? It's been a long day, right? Well, good. I'll try to make this as exciting and edge of your seat as I possibly can for a technical talk. My name is Mike Downey. Welcome, everyone. This is the third of a series of sessions dedicated to media content in a Windows 8 application. And so I'm going to spend most of this talk kind of focusing in on the tools and capabilities for building a more advanced media application that you can deliver for Windows 8 through the Windows Store. So first, let me just kind of introduce myself and what I do. So I'm a principal evangelist in our media platform evangelism team. And the Microsoft Media Platform encompasses all of the kind of elements that are laid out here in this slide. My team really spends a lot of time working with large broadcasters, content providers, and really any company that's in that the media delivery space or media playback. And we do everything from helping them understand how our technologies work to actually producing full real-world applications. So that includes, my team's actually produced the online broadcasts of the last several Olympic Games. A lot of major sporting events, some of the biggest sporting events ever delivered online. My team has worked on those things. On my team, I personally tend to focus a little bit more on the client side and working with a lot of partners and content providers on helping them understand how to use our technology stack, but also talking to them and trying to understand what their requirements are and what kind of things they're doing. And then myself and my teammates will work then with the product teams and help them understand those scenarios. So why is a particular streaming format important and all those types of things, and try and bridge all of those gaps. So one of the things that my team tries to do is when we spend time investing in helping a partner build a really elaborate advanced media application is we try to take some of that investment and turn it into frameworks and toolkits that we can then open source and provide back out to the community so other people can create those same types of experiences. So in that fourth column there, you see an example of some of those. These are all open source projects that are on CodePlex that are derived from projects like the Olympics and other things that we've done. And these are all tools that we used. We built, purpose-built those for those projects. And then we took them and we cleaned them up, made them more developer-friendly, and then released them on CodePlex. So the top one, the player framework, is one that I look after, and we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about how that works and what it does. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, let me kind of set the context by walking through what we mean when we talk about an advanced media application. So we're talking about advanced playback. So some people think about video playback and they just imagine a rectangle with the play pause button. And doing that is pretty simple to do. But doing something like this, so this is NBC Sports. This is one of the projects that my team worked on. Sunday Night Football, for our international viewers, that's American football. Sunday night, there's one game every Sunday night. It's a big deal. It's primetime television. And NBC has the rights for playing that game. And they actually stream that game for free online within the U.S. on NBCSports.com. My team has helped them build that experience. What you see here is a browser-based experience, but it highlights these types of advanced media capabilities. And I'll just show you a few of these. So when we're looking at this application, we have a lot of things going on. They're all part of the media playback experience. So first of all, there's things like multi-camera experience. So this is one of those examples of creating a lean-forward experience that only these digital formats gives you. So your television set, in most cases, really can't do that for you. But providing multiple camera angles so the user, the viewer, can control their own experience. If I'm watching a sporting event, being able to say, show me a different camera angle. Or pause the live video and let me take a break, but I don't want to miss any of the action. All those types of things. So Sunday Night's Football provides five different camera angles. during the live broadcast, and I can switch between all of these and not lose a beat. It's all synced to a live broadcast. And live, of course, is one of the other advanced features. Doing live delivery is complicated. So this experience that you see here, this was actually used this year for the Super Bowl, which is one of the biggest sporting events in the world. And that broadcast was the largest online live sporting event in history. The only thing that's beaten it is the royal wedding. And, you know, royal wedding. Sports, this is huge, right? So the Super Bowl this year is massive. You know, millions and millions of online viewers. So that was all a project that Microsoft was very heavily involved in. So what else did it do? So multiple camera angles, timeline markers. In this case, when you're watching a live sporting event, football, there's producers at NBC that are creating key markers for key points in the game, key points of interest. Usually a score or some huge play that happened. And that way, while you're watching, maybe it's a slow point in the game, you can see, oh, here, if I click on this marker, it'll take me right to a really interesting point of the broadcast. And there's a lot of complexity involved in doing that programmatically. So that's an example of a feature. I mentioned live. Adaptive bitrate. I would assume if you're here in a media session, you might be familiar with what adaptive bitrate streaming is. But it's basically a way of encoding your video, and in this case we can do it live, at multiple bitrates. And then having intelligence on the client and on the server that will make it so that depending on the user's connection speed, they're always delivered the best possible bitrate video quality to match their connection speed. And it's all seamless. So they don't have to go in and say, good, better, best, or those old-time options that you had in the early days of web video. Now it's all just seamless, and there's no buffering. It just automatically varies depending on your connection speed. So adaptive bitrate streaming is part of that. And all over HTTP, so you don't have firewalls blocking your weird protocol, anything like that. Other capabilities, playlists. Playlist is something that is a little bit more complicated than it might sound. In fact, with NBC Sports and this live broadcast, they actually use one of the other tools in the previous slide, which is our video editor. It's an online video editor for live broadcasts, all open source. But NBC used that to create clips in real time. So as the event's going on, they'll take a scoring play, they'll create a quick clip out of that. And then they'll add that to the playlist. So I can go back through the highlights and I can say, let me see the last score or the last big play. And that's huge. They're doing that all in real time. It's just populating that playlist. And since the streaming format used, which in this case was Microsoft's Smooth Streaming Protocol, file format, the protocol is HTTP. Since it's smooth streaming and all of those segments are encoded as small, three, 4 second segments, then it's easy to create clips because it's just an XML manifest that pieces all these things together. So I can just say, go grab the clip starting from here to here and make that a clip. That's just a new XML manifest that's doing that. No re-encoding or anything like that. It's just seeking back to that segment and playing that. And then I can snap to live when I'm done. So other stuff like advertising integration, pre-roll, mid-roll, post-roll, closed captioning, which is tremendously complex. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. And then just general robustness, error handling and retry logic and all of that stuff. So these are all examples of the types of advanced capabilities that go into building this type of media application. And there's a lot of work that goes into this. And on my team, we've worked with our development partners to really, try to perfect a lot of these capabilities so that we can make this available to everyone and you don't have to redo all of that work. So today we're focused mostly on Windows 8. So let's start by kind of talking about how do you stream content to Windows 8. So there's really two major scenarios. You can either stream your video into the browser as you're kind of used to doing for the PC. And so you can still do that with Internet Explorer 10. Or now you can actually build a Windows Store application and have a much more integrated, full screen, beautiful experience, which will be the bulk of our focus this afternoon. But let me address Internet Explorer right up front, kind of help explain what your options are there. So when you're looking at Internet Explorer 10, and this is the new kind of touch-optimized, full-screen, beautiful browsing experience, you have, of course, HTML5 and the video tag built in. But that's the same standards compliant video tag that you have in all the other browsers, which means your only option for delivery is just a basic progressive download of a video file. There's no streaming built into that. Or with IE10, we have integrated the Flash player into all versions of IE10. Now, however you experience IE10, Flash is bundled into that, is built into it. It's not even a plugin. It's actually built into IE. So with Flash, then you can actually use streaming protocols like RTMP and other Flash streaming formats. So that's one other way to stream content into Internet Explorer. When you run Internet Explorer on the desktop, which is more like your kind of classic view of using Internet Explorer that you might be used to from Windows 7, then you can run ActiveX controls, which you can't do in Internet Explorer when you launch it from the start page in that full screen experience. And in that scenario, then you can keep using Flash or Silverlight or other ActiveX plugins. If you run IE on the desktop on your Windows RT device, since that's an ARM chipset, we can't run the existing ActiveX controls. So there you're back to running either HTML5 or Flash. So these are your scenarios for delivering content to Internet Explorer. Now, if you're a Silverlight developer and you've been using Silverlight to stream your content, you probably want to know, like, what do I do with my content? So as I said, one option is you can have people switched into the desktop view, so IE10 on the desktop, and they can run Silverlight there. So Netflix says that today, okay, as one of their options, and I'll show you how that works. But one of the other things that's really important to understand is with Silverlight, we actually took the Silverlight technology stack and we integrated it into Windows 8 through XAML and C# and a lot of those same APIs and the .NET framework. So if you're doing Silverlight development today, writing a Windows Store app is a logical progression of your existing skill set. So it's a lot easier to take that Silverlight content and just migrate that into a Windows Store application. If you're using Flash, it's a complete rewrite. You're using a completely different stack of technologies. But that makes it a lot easier for existing Silverlight developers. So if you want to just write your Windows Store app, that's your other option. But let me show you kind of the experience of bridging between your Internet Explorer experience, if you want to use Silverlight, for example, and how you can handle that. So let's see. So on our Windows 8 start page, we'll start by launching Internet Explorer. And I'm going to go to Netflix.com as an example. Okay, so when I'm on Netflix, I can go into View Content. So this is a regular user. They just got their Windows 8 machine. They go to Netflix.com like they're used to doing. They find some content. History Channel should be pretty safe in front of a public audience like this, hopefully. And when I click to play that, you can see what happens here. So they're actually doing two really cool things right now. So one, what you see across the top, this is the forefront option, is they've detected that I have the Netflix Windows Store application installed on my machine. So it's asking me right away when I try to play content, did you want to switch apps? So basically it's saying this website wants to open Netflix, which is the name of the Windows Store app. So from right here I can click yes, and it'll just automatically launch the Netflix app, and it will deep link into the app and start playing that content. Awesome. If I don't already have the Netflix app installed, it'll take me into the Windows Store and I can install the app. So this is all done through markup in the HTML page on Netflix.com. It's really easy to do, all well documented. You guys can all do this. And this is a great user experience. You're basically handing them right off to the Windows 8 app. And then if you can see across the bottom, it's a little grayed out right now because this is prominent. But your other option, let's say you don't have a Windows Store app yet, is this bar that comes across the bottom. And what this does is says, Netflix site uses add-ons that require Internet Explorer on the desktop, in this case Silverlight. And then the user is presented with that dialog there at the bottom, and they can say, yeah, go ahead and open. And it'll switch you over to IE10 on the desktop and load up your Silverlight experience. Okay, so those are two great ways to bridge the gap for those. And I'll just show you here, if I just say yes, it'll launch the Netflix app, and it's going to fire up, and it'll take me right into that content. There it is. The Salem Witch Trials. There you go. Okay, so so there's an example of that. So let's take a look at a few other things. So that covers kind of the browser-based scenario, but what we really want to do is focus on building Windows Store applications that feature these advanced media capabilities. So earlier today, Todd and Laura did a great session that kind of walked through the features of Windows 8 and how a media app can take advantage of those, like the charms bar and all of that. So I don't want to spend too much time going over that, but I'll just kind of quickly highlight some of these things. So I can't bring up the charms bar right now because of the extended desktop. But so basically, I can by creating my Windows Store application versus doing it in the browser, I can leverage all these great Windows 8 features. So I can leverage sharing and the share charm built in, which I'm sure you guys have seen this like 12 times already at the conference, what these things do. But sharing, and I can leverage search that's contextual to my application, so I can make it really easy for somebody to search from the same place every time, regardless of what app they're using. Desktop notifications, secondary tiles, which is, I think, is a particularly interesting feature for media applications. What the secondary tiles would allow you to do, let's just say you're a content provider like a Hulu or a Netflix, and you want to allow people to basically pin a secondary tile that pins right to their favorite show, their favorite genre, you know, a category of content. They can create that secondary tile that populates with live information that maybe lets them know, for example, there's a new episode available of your favorite show every time they're scrolling through their start page. So that's all integrated capabilities that you don't get through a browser-based scenario. So let's dive a little bit more deeply into these types of apps. So first, let's take a look at a really well-done media application written for Windows 8. So there are a bunch of them, and my colleagues have shown different ones throughout the day. I'm going to focus on Hulu Plus. So Hulu Plus, awesome application. If you don't have a Hulu Plus subscription, I recommend it. I've had it since they first came out with it, and I don't pay for cable anymore. I just use this. So this is fantastic. So I've got my Hulu Plus full screen application here. It's beautiful. I can easily kind of scroll through all the different content. I can just drill right into a show. So let me pick something that's fairly safe. I think Modern Family is probably pretty safe. And I'm just playing some content. So first, this is using our open source player framework. And as you can see, there's an advertisement that plays right here. So it's using pre-roll advertising right now. New York Life Insurance, so this is company. Built into the player.
Ones who inspire us.
In 28 seconds, I can show you how some other features work.
Who make us laugh.
You never know when you click on one of these programs how short the ad's going to be. But it's playing a pre-roll ad right now.
And the ones.
And then as soon as the content starts playing, I can show you some of the other features that it has.
It takes all kinds of good to make a family. At New York Life, everything we do is...
How often have you guys actually been presented with a commercial while you're in a technical session? It's the first time for everything, right? There we go. So now we've got our content playing.
Is everybody okay?
And so now we can bring up the playback controls.
Thanks for
and
having.
In the player framework, which I'm going to talk in great detail about in just a minute,
just stay low and move out.
You can fully customize the look and feel. We have certain, we have a default UI that we just updated this weekend in our newest release that provides a very touch-friendly user interface, which is one of our requirements, is make sure that you don't make a really, really tiny little playhead and buttons, because this should be touch-friendly. But they've done that well in the Hulu application. And you can see I can skip back 10 seconds. What I wanted to do is show you how they're using our captions feature during the snoring scene, so that doesn't actually show you anything. It should just say Z's across the bottom right now. There you go. Great captions demo. So we've got captions built into the player framework, so you get all of that for free. It's all standards-based HTML. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But this is an example of one of these really advanced media applications, and obviously you could go even further than that if you're incorporating live and that type of event. But anyway, so that's a quick look at the Hulu application. So let's really spend more time now on talking about how you actually build this stuff. So when you're building your media application for Windows 8, there's kind of three stages of capabilities, three major buckets of things that come together to do all of this. So at the most basic, you have your basic video elements. So if you've chosen to use HTML5, then you've got a video tag. If you're using XAML, then you've got the media element. And that's for basic playback, loading content progressively, really straightforward. And then the next level is all the things you can do through Media Foundation. And the extensibility of Media Foundation. So that's where you start adding streaming capabilities, content protection, video effects, like if you want to do filters and all kinds of good hardware accelerated stuff like that, any kind of extensibility. So there's all that category of capabilities. And then taking all of that and wrapping it together and then adding additional features, you've got the player framework. So we make this available for free. I'm going to show you how to get it and show you what it looks like and how to use it. We're going to even have a code demo in a moment. And that's where we add features like closed captioning support, advertising for all of the standards that are out there. We've gone through all of the work to make sure we comply with all of those standards that are required for most of you. All that great error and retry logic and making it really easy for you to reskin the UI, the styling. All of that work has been going into the player framework. So that way, all this other stuff you kind of get for free. We're piecing all of this together for you to make it easier to build your apps. So let's switch to our first demo. So we're going to fire up Visual Studio, and I'm going to do a very, very quick, simple video tag, just like it works in the browser. Let's say build app. And I'll just show you quickly how that works, and then we'll kind of build up from there, up to something even a lot more advanced than that. So we've got my basic, we're going to use HTML for this example because it's pretty straightforward. I think most of us recognize how this works. And let me see if I can make the code smaller so you guys can really squint. Just kidding. So we'll just do a quick video tag here. So really straightforward. So in case any of you haven't actually seen how you build these Windows 8 applications, super straightforward. So it's all standards compliant HTML5. So fire up a video tag, and then all you need is your source attribute. And here you can just pop in basically a link to an actual supported media file format, which is, we recommend MP4 files using H.264. You can use WMV, VC1 as a codec, but in most cases, MP4 files. So if you want just a plain progressive download, I've got a link to a file out here that I can use as an example. So this is just a plain MP4 file. Use that as the source. And then you can turn controls on. There's a few different options there, autoplay, for example. So there's my video tag. So when I run this, it'll fire it up, and there's my video. Okay? So literally just a video tag pointing to a file. Bam, I've got video playing in my application. Really simple. All right. So that's the extent of my code demos. No, just kidding. Wouldn't that be disappointing? No, we're going to go a lot further than that. So that's a quick video tag. So we got to go a lot further than that. So when we go beyond video, what kind of things are we doing? Well, if you look at the media pipeline in Windows 8, you have a lot of capabilities. So when you're doing delivery to a browser, you're within that browser's sandbox. You can only do what that browser allows you to do. But in your Windows 8 application, you have full access to the underlying capabilities of Windows. And if you're here in the session in this room before me, you saw examples of how you build these Media Foundation extensions and how you leverage those types of capabilities. But in Media Foundation, we have all these great hardware-accelerated capabilities. If you want to do effects on audio or video, this is where all of your codecs, you can even write, you can have a third-party extension as a codec. All that capability happens down the C++ level in Windows. You can bubble all of that up to your Windows 8 application and expose it to either JavaScript or C#. And all this stuff happens here in that media pipeline, and you get to access all of that in your application, so you can do a lot more than you can do in a browser. So some examples of those. So we've got down at Media Foundation, we have certain things that we provide and that third parties can also write on their own. So streaming, for example. So when I showed you earlier the NBC Sports example for Sunday Night Football, that was using adaptive streaming. If you want to do a lot of advanced capabilities, like having real-time clips and having pause and fast-forward and rewind and all those types of things, that generally requires that you're using some kind of streaming format so that you can provide that kind of capability. So we have a format called Smooth Streaming, and we provide an SDK for free on Microsoft's website, and I'll show you the links at the end on how to get that. But it's adaptive bitrate streaming over HTTP. It provides live and video on demand capabilities. And I kind of explained how adaptive streaming worked earlier. It's been used at scale for the largest live sporting events ever. Like, it was used for the Olympics. The last three Olympics used smooth streaming. It was used in the Super Bowl this year, and it's used every Sunday night during the NFL football season. And Wimbledon and CBS March Madness, there's just a number of big events, and that's just the sporting events. There's also some big content providers that use it as well. So it's been used in large scale. It's based on the MP4 format, ISO, BAMF. We use basically fragmented MP4 files. When you're encoding your video, it's encoded into segments, and those segments are encoded at multiple bit rates. And because there are all these little chunks of video, dynamically we can switch between chunks as your connection speed changes. I mentioned there's no licensing fee to use smooth streaming because I've encountered a few people who thought there was. There's not. Basically, you just have to run it on IIS media services or run it on our Azure cloud platform for media delivery, which we call Windows Azure Media Services, which is kind of a new thing that we offer. But there's no licensing fee involved in using smooth streaming. Smooth streaming is provided in various forms as an SDK or a client for Windows, Windows Phone, Xbox, Silverlight, iOS, television sets. There's actually TVs that have the support built into the television. Set-top boxes. There's an embedded systems native SDK. Lots of flexibility. And finally, smooth streaming is the on-ramp to MPEG Dash, which I'm going to talk more about towards the end. But Microsoft led the development, helped lead the development of MPEG Dash, and we use smooth streaming as the reference for developing the new standard streaming format. And again, we'll talk more about that in just a bit. Ultraviolet as well, which is kind of part of that progression. Another thing that we provide is the PlayReady SDK. So PlayReady is for content protection. It handles just about any content protection scenario you can dream of. Download and play, expire, rent, basic encryption, you know, all of these scenarios. So PlayReady is fully supported on Windows 8. It provides support for metering and license operations, domain operations, all of these things. The SDK is free. It's integrated with Visual Studio 2012. You just download the SDK from the Visual Studio gallery. Easy to get. There's some new capabilities that are only available for the Windows 8 Windows Store applications, like per app or per user licensing through the store and license deletion. And one last note on PlayReady. When you use PlayReady in your application, the PlayReady DLL actually is distributed through the Windows Store. It doesn't ship inside Windows. It's distributed through the store, and all apps that use PlayReady share access to that same runtime library. That way, Microsoft can update that library as needed, and all apps get the update. Whereas when you bundle a streaming capability in your application, like using the Smooth Streaming SDK, then that DLL is individually bundled with your application. So you're always using that DLL, and everybody uses their own instance of it. Okay, so those are some of the advanced things, capabilities that we provide. How do we actually implement it? Well, as I mentioned before, we have an open source player framework that rolls all of this up into one tool set. So the player framework began life as a purpose-built player for the Olympics back in, I think it's Vancouver Olympics. So, like I said, my team was working on building that project. We built this really advanced player that had a lot of the features that I showed you in the football example. And when we had put all this work into developing the player framework, and for that project we were partnered with a development partner called Vertigo, who still does the development work for the player framework for the last, you know, 3.5 years. We took that work, which was at the time built for Silverlight, we open sourced that, and the first version was very much a purpose-built player. Basically, we gutted it out of the application, we cleaned up the code and removed all the bad, you know, code comments and made it nice and clean. We put that out for developers, and then a few months later, we took that and we re-architected it to make it more developer-friendly. So we created a plug-in API, and we kind of organized the code better so you could kind of take whatever features you wanted for your application. So it was less purpose-built, more of a player framework. So since we started that with Silverlight, we've ported that framework and recreated it for all the other platforms that you see on the screen. So for Windows 8, for Windows Phone, Xbox, HTML5, so we have an HTML5 version. It doesn't support streaming because browsers don't support streaming yet, but in the future it'll support MPEG Dash when that gets standardized and implemented. Silverlight, I mentioned, and we also have a player framework for iOS. So that wraps our Smooth Streaming iOS SDK in the player framework. And as much as possible, the APIs are all consistent across the board. So as you're implementing the player on all these different platforms, you have a lot of familiarity and the ability to use a lot of the same tools. So this framework is fully open source. It's on CodePlex, and I'll show you the URL in a bit. And it continues to advance. We keep updating all versions of it on a regular basis. We have full-time developers that are constantly iterating on the frameworks. Some of the features that the player framework provides, it's fully cross-platform, as I mentioned, supports adaptive bitrate heuristics through most of the time by using the Smooth Streaming SDK, but we have a plug-in API, so you could plug in other streaming formats if you want. And all the DVR functionality, advertising integration, closed captions, error handling, playlist management, UI customization, a plug-in model for third-party plugins. We support 3D video even, which is kind of cool, not heavily used, but it's cool. Media analytics, and we also support Play 2. So if you have content that you want to send, you know, it doesn't work with DRM content, but unprotected content, you can send that from your device to your Play 2 compatible TV or set-top box or Xbox. So it's kind of an overview of some of the features of the player framework. As I mentioned, we make a version of the player framework available for Windows 8. Quick look at the architecture for that. When we did the Windows 8 version, we had to re-architect the code a bit to take advantage of the new kind of technology stack in Windows 8. So since we have access to HTML5 and XAML, we basically took most of our core functionality and implemented them in C# as down at the WinRT level. And implemented things like our caption support, advertising, all of that. So we could write that all in one language as components. And then we expose that functionality up to HTML5 and XAML so that we support both of those workflows without having to recreate all of that in both JavaScript and C#. So that's how it's architected. You see, and I'm kind of tipping off some of the great features in here, the specifics, like our advertising capabilities here. I'm going to go into more detail there in a second. So that's a quick look at the architecture. Let's do a demo of how to use the player framework now. So let's create a new project. And we'll make this one player framework. All right. So first thing you want to do is go download the Player Framework extensions, SDK. So you can get that from CodePlex. It's playerframework.codeplex.com. And just go here and grab the latest version. This weekend we released Preview 7. We're about one release out from just calling it 1.0, so that's coming very soon. We're using agile development, so every release is really rock solid. We just keep adding a few more features. So you want to go download this, the V6 file, and install it into Visual Studio. Once you've done that, then you can just add those references in your project. So let me set this one as a startup and just add these references. So in my reference manager, I can see there's a list of player framework plugins. So we've organized this as the kind of the core player framework. And then we have an additional one for adaptive streaming. So if I'm going to use streaming in my project, I want to include that one. And then we have one for advertising, one for time text, which is our captioning support. So we'll come back and use those in just a bit. But right now, I'm just going to use the player framework, which does require that you have the JavaScript library included, which is on by default. So now, if I go to my default HTML page, I can pretty easily just, we'll just do a really simple example. So you have to use a div. And first thing we'll do is make a reference to our player framework. So I've already made the reference in my project. So in my div, I'll use data win control. And the reference is pretty straightforward. It's just player framework dot media player. And then we use data win options. And in here is where you set all of your parameters for how you want the player to be instantiated. So this is where we'll set like height and width. So let's do that. So let's do width, 640. Height, 360. We can do, let's do playback. We'll just do source for now. So source. And then let me pop that one in there. Got a little cheat sheet here with this long URL. Let's use Big Buck Bunny. You guys have probably all seen this one at some point. Royalty-free video content. Okay. So let's see. We've got, oh, I forgot one little thing. Okay. So we've got width, height, source, and I can set up things like autoplay to true. We'll do more of that in a little bit. Let's keep it simple right now. Let's see. Actually, let's do it in Toronto. I'll play on just for fun. True source. Okay. So that simple. We'll close the tag. So I've just got this div, and I'm using these two Windows-specific controls, so data win controls and data win options, popped in my MP4 file. So this is just going to be a basic progressive download at this point. We'll come back to streaming in just a second. But let's see, that should do it. Famous last words. And this is my beautiful black screen application. This is the coolest application you've ever seen, right? So, autoplay, 644. Huh? Oh, that's what I forgot. I forgot a step. This is why you bring your lead developer to your session with you, so you can catch little things like that. One of the most important things you have to do is make your references to your JavaScript files and your CSS files. So let's pop that in. Thank you, Tim. Gold star. So we'll just add a few player framework references. So back here in under the references box here, we'll grab our player framework. And you'll see that there's a folder for CSS and JavaScript. When you use a player framework, you need to include these files. So we have a theme for dark, and we have a theme for light, which is the two different default theme sets for Windows. So we'll use dark in this case. Just drag that out. Bam, it makes a link reference. Then we'll grab the JavaScript file for the player framework, pop that in. And then our full screen black application now plays a video. And you don't have to applaud that it actually worked or anything. So there you go. Player framework is working now, and that's fantastic. So that's really easy to do. It's just a div tag. You pop in, you reference the player framework. So now you're kind of seeing how we're trying to make this really simple for you. And you can go in and you can restyle all of this. We have a CSS file that you can go in and change the default look and feel for the playback controls. Okay. So that's a look at the basic player framework. So that's if you're just going to, that's going beyond the video tag and incorporating the player framework into your application. We're going to start adding some more advanced features here in a second. So in the player framework, I mentioned that we've incorporated other advanced capabilities. So what are those? So advertising, for example. So there's a lot of work that goes into supporting video ads. First of all, there's a bunch of standards. There's VAST, there's VPaid, there's VMAP. So for ad scheduling, we support VMAP, which is the IAB standard. It's relatively new for ad scheduling. We support MAST, which is an Akamai standard. And then FreeWheel, which implements VMAP. And it has its own kind of special sauce. That's also supported in the player framework. And that one's fairly new. For ad scheduling, we support pre-rolls, mid-rolls, and post-rolls. That's the types of ad scheduling we support. Ad formats, we can support simple clips where you just your VMAP file just says, here's the clip I want you to play at this moment. Or we support VAST, which tells that in your scheduling, it says go out and grab this VAST file. Then that VAST file can contain an inventory of ads and which ads should be played in which scenarios. And then we also support linear, nonlinear, and companion ads and VPaid, which is another IAB standard. So all of that comes in the player framework. So you can just plug that into whichever ad server you're using. Closed captioning is probably our most complicated feature. We've definitely spent the most time getting it right, quite a bit of time. So closed captioning is a lot more complex than you might think. It's not simply saying, give me an XML file with text in it and then put that text on the screen at this interval. It sounds like it might be that easy, but it's not. There's all kinds of rules involved in captioning. There's fonts, contrast, positioning, all kinds of things that are all wrapped into the standards for captioning. So the standard that we focus on is TTML. That's the most widely adopted standard around the world, and time text markup language. So you have full TTML support in the player framework. It's implemented as a plugin to the framework so that you can, and that's open source. So if you really wanted to, you could go take that and repurpose it. There's a lot of work that's gone into that. So TTML is fully supported. WebVTT is another format that is supported in the JavaScript version. Which is all kind of baked in, and that's lesser used, but it's available for JavaScript. And then other ones that we're working on, potentially supporting in the future, that are on our backlog right now, SIMTTT, which is a little more common in Europe, which is a superset of TTML. So we already kind of are, I don't know, roughly maybe 90% SIMTTT compliant, but there's a few couple of other things that we need to add in to add that. And then some other formats we're looking at for the future are 607, 708. And then TTML is very active, so there's always kind of new iterations on that. They're looking at doing a light spec right now. One of the guys who helped write the TTML spec works at Microsoft, so he's actually helped us all along the way getting all this right. I think it's probably safe to say that we probably have one of the best implementations of TTML available in any kind of video player today. We've spent a lot of time getting that right. And as I mentioned here on the slide, it's growing increasingly important. A lot of content providers are now required to provide closed captioning for their content. It's an FCC requirement. And this is all kind of happening relatively recently. So there's a lot of content providers out there right now that are scurrying to go back through their whole content library and add captions. So you don't want to have to spend a lot of time doing the client-side implementation of that. We'll handle that piece of it. You just give us the TTML file. So that's supported. And then there's extensibility. So the player framework is extensible. When we first created it in Silverlight, we moved towards adopting the managed extensibility framework, which was kind of a new feature in Silverlight 4. And that's kind of when we started really focusing on this kind of nice plug-in model, and making it easier for us to write different plugins, but our partners as well. When we moved to Windows 8, we were able to simplify all of that. So there's just one type of plugin now, not recreating new types of plugins along the way. All of our major features are designed and implemented as plugins to make the framework itself more modular. And again, it's open source, so you can take that, rip it out, and put it in your own project if you want. We encourage that. Streaming, codecs, content protection, all of that happens at the Media Foundation level and plugs into the player framework itself. So I'll show you in a minute when we use smooth streaming, really easy to do. And then I mentioned this topic of extensibility, especially if you're watching this online right now, we go into detail on that in Richard Frick's section, which was right before me in this room. But if you're watching online, we have a full session that just focuses on how you build those types of extensions. So make sure you check that out. Okay, so another topic, MPEG Dash. I mentioned earlier that smooth streaming is really the precursor to a standard now that is a ratified ISO standard as of November of last year, and it's been working its way through the other standards bodies and the W3C for eventual implementation in browsers and pretty much any client that plays back streaming video. So this is a widely supported standard streaming format. So Microsoft has really helped lead this. We're the co-chair of the Dash committee. A few notes on it. So it's based on ISO Banff fragmented MP4. Then there's also profiles for MPEG-2 TS, which is more similar to HLS's formats. The standard is required for additional application profiles to create complete interoperability standards. I love how standards guys kind of phrase all of this stuff. It's basically a standardized description of how to deliver fragmented MP4 and M2TS files. And this is a really promising standard. This is something that Microsoft is championing. It's the future of streaming through our technologies. It's pretty new. It just got ratified in November of last year, like I said. So it's slowly making its way into the various platforms. We are currently, I'll show you in just a bit, we have a prototype of a Dash client for Windows 8. We haven't released it yet. We'll release it sometime in the near future, but we're getting closer to having this all supported. Now, the good news is if you're using smooth streaming today, you're already Dash compliant. When you start implementing Dash, all you're doing at that point is modifying your manifest files. So there's a few additional properties, a few changes to the manifest itself, but all of your file formats, everything all stays the same. So this is really promising for the future, getting outside of a proprietary streaming format and into something that everybody will support. So I have a demo of the Dash client, so let me go ahead and show you that. So it's funny, when we put this demo together, we thought, well, we built this client, which is awesome, like very cutting edge. Nobody's really doing this yet. Everybody's talking about it. So we got this demo put together. And then when we started talking about it, we thought, well, how do you demo a streaming format? It's like demonstrating a light bulb, right? Like it either works or doesn't work. Like the video plays or it doesn't play. That's it. So our developer actually came up, Tim, who's right here in the front row. Tim Greenfield's our lead developer, came up with a pretty good way of demonstrating a streaming format. So we've got the video playing with the player framework here, and we've surrounded it by all the stuff that's going on in the background. So along the right-hand column here, you see these are all the different bit rates that we've encoded this video to. And as you saw, it's highlighting the bit rate that's currently playing. So it starts at the lowest, and then after the first segment, it pretty much figures out, okay, well, there's a faster connection, so it skipped down to 1994. And depending on our connection here through the wire connection, you may see it change while it's playing. But there's how the adaptive heuristics are working. We're giving information on the audio stream in the lower left-hand corner here. And then down here, this is kind of cool if you're a total like Dash nerd. But here you can actually see the manifest itself. So this is a Dash compliant manifest that's playing this content. So. That is the coolest way we could think of to demonstrate a streaming format working in an application. And not many people have been able to do what I just showed you. So you just saw some really important stuff, even though it's literally just a video playing. But that's cool. That's like standard stuff. So there's Dash. So like I said, that is coming. We have it working. You see it working in Windows 8. That'll be released through the same CodePlex project at some time in the near future. So that's just telling you. My recommendation, use smooth streaming today. Once all the Dash stuff is lit up from the delivery and client side, you just repurpose your existing content and you're good to go. So while I'm here, I'm going to show you one additional code demo. So jumping back to our project here, so we have here just an instance of the player framework that's loading an MP4 file progressively. Let's actually take that a step further and load some smooth streaming content. So the first thing I need to do is go in and add references to my smooth streaming SDK. So I showed you earlier the player framework project on CodePlex. So if you go to downloads, and you view the player framework for Preview 7 here. At the bottom, under additional downloads, we link to the Smooth Streaming client, which is hosted on a different Microsoft site because it's not open source. CodePlex is all open source. So you can get the Smooth Streaming client, and you can get the PlayReady client here. So if you need to find that yourself, just start from playerframework.codeplex.com, and we link to it here. So you make sure you want to install that V6 file to Visual Studio. And once you've installed that client, then we can go in and add the reference. So the first thing you want to do, you can see here, we have an adaptive streaming plugin. We need that. And then we'll add the Smooth Streaming SDK and Visual C++. That's a Media Foundation extension, so we need to use the C++ runtime package. So we'll make those references. Now, when you're testing on your own machine, the first thing you'll want to do is go to your configuration manager and tell it to target your platform specifically. Because it's doing C++ level extension, you can't test automatically to any CPU. When you build your project and deploy it, then it'll deploy to ARM and the other CPUs. So during testing, just switch to x64, because I'm running 64-bit OS right now. And then we've got our reference here in the code to our adaptive JavaScript library. So I just need to add that one in right here. Now, that library I just dragged in, it makes the reference out to the Smooth Streaming SDK. So I don't need to add any more references. So Player Framework's taking care of all of that. So we've got the CSS theme, we've got the JavaScript file for the Player Framework, and then we've got the JavaScript file for the adaptive plugin. So now that's all set and wired up. So now all I have to do is change my source from a MP4 file to a Smooth Streaming manifest file. So I have an example of one right here. Let's grab this one. So he's Big Buck Bunny. So this is just pointing out to my manifest file. I'll pop that in here. Okay, so just that and it'll work. But there's a couple other things that we can do. So we have in our API documentation, we have a list of all these other player framework properties that we support. Is full screen visible? So a lot of these are actual little user interface elements that are on the playback bar. So you can turn these on and off, autoplay, is fast forward visible. So let me just set a few of these. So let's add full screen, signal strength. So I'll just add a few of these in. So signal strength was, is signal strength visible? Is fast forward and is rewind. Is rewind visible? True. And then full screen. Is full screen visible? Okay. So I just added a bunch of other little button elements on there just to show you how easy it is to do that. And then we just change how the player works. So let's go ahead and test that. Okay, so now we're streaming right off of Azure right now. As you can see, the player controls, now I have a rewind and a fast forward button, so I can click fast forward and it's going faster now. Okay, now we're back at regular speed, I can go full screen. And then in the lower right-hand corner here, I have my signal strength bar. And so we added that in, so that'll basically, we take the lowest, the highest, and the middle bit rate, and we'll show that on that signal strength bar. You can customize that yourself, add more bars if you want. But that's an optional user interface element. So all of that gets baked in. So it's this easy. I've got my Smooth Streaming server set up, I've got my files encoded, and I can easily pop this stuff into my application. Okay, so where did I put my thing? So we showed the Dash client, showed you how to incorporate the more advanced features into your Windows 8 application using the Player Framework. And then, like I said, there's a whole list of cool features you can turn on and off. You can customize everything yourself. It's all open source. Now, to wrap this up, like, you always need a good action item. What do you go do now? If you want to learn how to do this stuff, play around with some samples and really really get a good understanding of this. So my team put together a great little simple sample application that I wanted to show you because it's it kind of gives you a really great example of how to incorporate smooth streaming. So it's using an existing smooth streaming source from Channel 9 and an RSS feed. So this is available on the same CodePlex site, so it's in the downloads. And you can go load this in yourself. And let's switch over to that. Okay, so let me pop open that project. Where did I put that? Great, now I forgot where I put it. Well, let's do it the fun way. I'll show you exactly, I'll demonstrate how to get it, because it's pretty easy to find this. So let's see, we've got on our downloads here, we have our Player Framework samples. So just grab that, it's the third item listed there. And we'll just pop that on the desktop. Okay. Open that up. Let's open the solution. So we'll do JavaScript. Yes, yes, it's trusted. Yes, yes. Okay. So we've got samples. So you get three different projects in this solution. So the samples go through all kinds of really cool specific feature demos. So we even have them for captioning and advertising in there. So when you download this, you've got access to all kinds of good feature samples. But we actually took a full sample project up here, and it's called Channel 9. So we're using the Channel 9 RSS feed. So let me set that as the startup. And what this one does, I'll just go ahead and run it so you can walk through what it does. So it goes out to the Channel 9 on MSDN, RSS feed, grabs a feed for a specific show. In this case, it's This Week on Channel 9. And in the source, you can go in and easily swap that out. We grab that, and then we went and populated it with thumbnails for each of the shows. And then you can click on a show. And we've got a detail page for it. And we pull in the description from the same RSS feed, all the notes from the show. You can go ahead and play a video. Jumps to full screen. You can see our new default UI template. So this one has, this is new in an update we released this weekend. So we have the scrubber and the big controls in the middle of the screen, which is our kind of preferred user interface for Windows 8. And you get all of this stuff in your sample application. So this is my my request to you, that as you guys go and start playing with building your Windows 8 application, download those samples. It'll walk you through, like I said, all the advanced features, captions, advertising, all of that. And that'll give you the ability to see how it all works. And using RSS is great because it's super generic. You can repurpose it for a lot of other things. Okay? And that's available for JavaScript only. We haven't made our XAML version yet. But we will be doing a XAML version at some point. So that sample app is for JavaScript. So to recap, we talked about how to deliver content to IE10, using Windows 8 for the more advanced scenarios and all the great capabilities for leveraging the built-in features in Windows 8. Talked about smooth streaming, player-ready, extensibility of the player framework, and Media Foundation, Player Framework for Windows 8, and then we also went through a demonstration of our MPEG Dash client, which is something for you to look forward to. And remember, smooth streaming is a great on-ramp to MPEG Dash, so it's a good time to be implementing smooth streaming support for your own content. And all that's coming relatively soon. So the final slide, the action for you guys, go download the Player Framework and play around. Get a free copy of Visual Studio you can download, VS Express. It's all you need. Grab Player Framework from playerframework.codeplex.com and grab those sample files. And if you have any questions on this stuff, we monitor the forums every day. So just post your questions on the forums. We have a great active community that helps monitor the forums as well. You know, let us know if you have any questions. So I've got a couple minutes left now. So again, I'll introduce Tim Greenfield, who's our lead developer for the Player Framework. We have actually several people who work on it, but Tim leads the charge. And if you have any questions, we're here to answer them. So I've got a couple I can take on stage if you have any now. And if not, you can come find us after the session. Somebody's got to ask a question. Come on, don't be afraid. Come on, we need at least one question. So there you go. I like that.
Does the streaming, the playback Player Framework support HLS?
Does the Player Framework support HLS? No. We don't provide an HLS client. However, you can leverage a third-party client for HLS. And there's a few third parties that are actually building them for Windows as Media Foundation extensions. Two that come to mind, Aptelic. They're based in the UK. And one called 3IVX, number 3IVX. So they have solutions now. There's a few others that are working on solutions. But you can check them out. And those can plug into the Player Framework. So I know for a fact that Aptelic is building theirs so it plugs into the Player Framework. I assume 3IVX might be as well. But you can do that if you want to use HLS. That's the great thing about Windows. It's totally open and extensible. So if we don't provide the feature, you can generally do it yourself or get it from a third party. Any other questions?
Hi, so just wondering what kind of a protection mechanism are implemented in this kind of in this project?
What kind of content protection do we use?
Yeah,
do we support?
How to protect those premier content if the content from like Hulu or YouTube?
How do you protect premium content?
Yeah.
Sure. So Windows has something called the Protected Media Path that's in Media Foundation, we provide something called PlayReady, which is an SDK. It's a full DRM system. It's for content protection, and we license that. So you can license PlayReady from us. You can get the free SDK and incorporate that into your application. PlayReady does all the decryption and all of its work inside the protected media path, which is something that people with intent to steal content can't get into. Okay. We also have an SDK where we can license access to the protected media path out to other third-party content protection providers. So we have a number that have worked with us. So you can, you know, if you have somebody in mind, just ask them if they have support for Windows 8 or when they're planning on doing it, and they can provide that. And through those technologies, like PlayReady, you can do all kinds of scenarios. Like if you want to do just basic protection, where they have to be authenticated in order to watch your content, and then they can't like easily steal it, or things like rentals. So you can have like a trial period, or you can have you can pay, and the first time you watch it, it starts a clock for, say, 24 hours. They can watch it as many times as they want within 24 hours. But that clock doesn't start until the first time they watch it. So all of those scenarios are supported by that technology. So if you want to do that in Windows 8, we provide PlayReady support, and you can license that. And we have a number of third-party licensors that provide those services to you. BuyDRM is an example of one that comes to mind. And we have the full SDK for that. If you want to use a third-party, then you just have to go out and research all the different DRM vendors and ask them for their SDKs. So that's how you do it in Windows 8. You have a question in the back?
Yeah, please. You were talking about the adaptive streaming and how it would basically use smaller chunks of video and choose whichever ones the bitrate would allow for.
Right.
What have you guys found to be the optimal size for the chunks? Because I'm assuming there's some sort of overhead when you split it up like that. So, I mean, is there a trade-off between like how quickly it can respond to changes in available bitrate?
Well, the shorter the segments, the faster you can actually switch. How do I explain this? So somebody starts watching and they're at it starts at a low bit rate because the app doesn't know what their speed is yet. So if you have a 10-second chunk, then the user's going to watch low quality video for 10 seconds before they get the higher quality. And the same is true if the quality changes in the middle of the playback. The shorter the segment, the faster they'll get the right bit rate, whatever that is, higher or lower. I think with smooth streaming, it's usually 4 seconds, right? 2 seconds is the default. You can change it, but the default for smooth streaming is 2 second chunks. And that seems to be the most common interval. I know HLS originally tended to be longer segments, but I think as Apple's updated their server, they've been moving to shorter and shorter segments. But I think generally 2 to 4 second segments is going to work well. But again, if you make it too long, then you're going to force people to watch the wrong bit rate for the longer amount of time.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you want to encode your video in those segments, Microsoft provides Expression Encoder. You can download it from our website, and that does all of that. And there's third parties that do that, but we have a tool called Expression Encoder that you can get from us that'll encode to all those bit rates for you. Yeah.
Follow now that you say that, I had seen that they're coming out with Blend 5. Is there going to be an Expression Encoder 5 as well, or is that been split up from each other at this point?
That I'm not really sure about. There's a different team that's handling that. I don't really work with that product team. But the version now, Expression Encoder, works extremely well. We use it all the time. And I should mention that's just a tool for doing your own encoding for, like, offline content. But we also have a number of third-party encoding vendors that support the same formats. And this is like high-end hardware encoders and all kinds of other options. So if you're doing a live broadcast, for example, you can use something like an inlet encoder that will encode the same formats, the same segments, and different bit rates. But all that gets really expensive. Like, that's really high-end live stuff. But there's a number of third-party options that you have for that. But the current Expression Encoder is awesome. It's a great tool. Yeah. Up front?
I have dealt a little bit with protected media paths.
The protected media path, yeah.
Uh-huh. And as far as I remember, source is out of pump. Your sync, Media Foundation sync, is above pump. So what to do for third-party DRM providers who encrypt whole stream, not just video?
That is a complicated question. So let's take that after the session, and I can grab some of my colleagues, and we can kind of help you get connected to the right resources to answer that one. So we'll follow up on that. When you get into Protected Media Path, the Media Foundation, the conversation gets a lot more complicated. So we'll follow up on that separately. There is information online on how to do that. Any other questions? Good. Time's up. I'll be up here for a few minutes, and my colleagues are with me too. So if you have any other questions, thanks, everyone.